Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Can We Talk Fridays. I am your host, Raz Williams. Joining me tonight in the studios is my co-host, Mr. Ronnie Ambrose. Ronnie, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Raz. How you doing?
Not too bad, man. Guys, listen, we're back on the air live tonight after being about a month of rebroadcast. Thanks for supporting us as we've been, we've been diligently working behind the scenes to ensure that we're finding ways to make the show better for you, our listeners. And, well, guys, we have a great show for you guys tonight. For those of you who have been following us, last week we rebroadcasted a show titled What the Bible Has to Say About Aliens, UFOs, Giants. And we had a special guest who was L.A. Marzulli, a world-renowned end times investigator and author. Well, L.A. told me on that show that he highly recommended that I should invite an expert on the show by the name of Chris Putnam. And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up in a little while, we have Chris Putnam in the studios with us tonight. Now, Chris will be talking about his new book titled The Supernatural Worldview and sharing his investigative work and fantastic insights on the common world deception, the Vatican UFO connection, and many other fascinating information pertaining to the end times and the supernatural. Guys, the number to call if you have a question or comment is for the panel is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Ronnie, man, it's been a few weeks since you've been on, man. How you been doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I've been missing coming on the show, but I've been all right. You know, finally got some rain out in Southern California, so things are looking up.
Absolutely. And it looks like we've got go ahead, Ron. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that you mentioned that Chris Putnam has a book entitled The Supernatural Worldview. And
yes, he does.
You know, I recently had a conversation. You know, I just recently ran into someone who brought something to mind that was real interesting. That, you know, people, whether they're, you know, whether they believe in the Savior or not, they do have a lot of need or desire, or they're in a search for information dealing with the supernatural, dealing with, you know, out-of-body experiences and things like that. And so, you know, I just feel that it's right on time to have somebody who can bring the information necessary to, you know, maybe fill in the gaps for some people that are just seeking for spiritual enlightenment without, you know, the true light of the world. So I'm just, you know, excited to hear what he has to say.
Absolutely. You know, definitely, there's definitely a fascination with the supernatural and the paranormal. And what people need to really realize and understand is that there are two, there are only two forces that control this phenomenon. That's the power of God and then you have satanic forces. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what Chris has to say tonight, and it should be a great show, guys. So tune in and sit back, relax, get your popcorn out, get your sodas out. It's gonna be a wonderful ride. And it looks like we have Pam on the line tonight. Pam, how you doing, man?
Hi, good evening. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be here again and hear all this up-to-date information. Really looking forward to it, Raz.
Absolutely. So what do you think about having our special guest on tonight, Pam?
I'm just excited. I'm always open to learn more new information, especially when it's regarding the Word of God and end-time prophecies. You know, the Holy Spirit is definitely in allowing the men of God to share this information so that we'll have a better understanding of what's going on. And I'm just truly blessed to be one of those who has the opportunity to hear and receive. And, you know, we're asking the Holy Spirit to order our footsteps every day, to lead and guide us, to give us the discernment. And so this is really going to help enlighten us. So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Guys, listen, if you're just tuning in, Can We Talk is who we are. This is what we do. Call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you can email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. We will be having Chris Putnam on the show later on joining us tonight. Listen, guys, I want to get into the news tonight, and I have a story that I want to share with the panel and you guys up there. This is titled Pope John Paul II's Blood is Stolen from a Church in Italy. And it's written by a Christian Post reporter by the name of Jeff Shaparo. And it says that a container that holds some of the blood of the late Pope John Paul II has been stolen from a church in Italy. And it's the relic of John Paul II, Franca Carrera. She told Reuters that after she called the police, broken window at the church of San Pietro, and early Sunday morning, and she believes that because there was nothing else like gold or anything valuable taken, that only the blood that was missing, that they believe it was taken to be used specifically for satanic ritual purposes. Now, it's, again, why have we been talking about this? All roads lead back to the Catholic Church for some reason. And so I wanted to pass this around the panel and seeing that there's definitely an increase in the rise in satanic activity in the world today. And I wanted to get your thoughts about that, Ronnie.
Well, you know, it is disturbing that just the blood would be stolen, because I know there's probably plenty more valuable, you know, objects in that building. But the mystery that's been created and the allegiance that's made to these to the papacy and the Pope figures is really out of context, and it could lead people into strange things. But, you know, what they're going to do with the blood, I have no idea. But the fact that they would go out of their way just to steal the Pope's blood, you know, in their hearts, it has some kind of value. And if it's a ritual thing, we can't really be surprised, because, you know, there's so many occultic religions associated with the relics of the Catholic Church. And so, you know, we can go all through different areas of the world, and a lot of soothsayers and voodoo priests and different sort of mystics and things of that nature, they use the Catholic relics, you know, to do their ceremonies and to invoke different spells and spirits, and just to tap into the, you know, demonic side of spirituality. They, you know, they do go, they're comfortable with the Catholic relics, the crosses and the Virgin Marys and all that. And so, you know, I'm not really surprised, but it's sad, it's demented, but it's the world that we live in.
Oh, absolutely. Pam, what are your thoughts about that article?
Well, you know, when you're dealing with the blood, you know, those, like Ronnie was saying, those satanic rituals are very real. They stem all the way back to early Bible history. I noticed, too, they had an interview, I think it was the Rabbin Abby Finkelstein interview, and they talked about sacrifice of blood from children that had been offered up. And they do it in these synagogues where they drink the blood. They claim they drink the blood of their enemies, and then they drain the children's bodies and then use those for all, you know, I don't know. There's some other issues that are going on with that I won't get into right now, but it's all based on worship to Satan. And, you know, we see it all around us now. It's becoming more prevalent. It seems as though every satanic worshiper is becoming more bold. And, you know, now it seems to be a big thing. And a lot of people don't want to believe that these things are going on. You tell them, you try to expose them the truth, and they just turn a deaf ear. They just will not accept or believe these types of things are happening. And, you know, it's just really, really sad, you know, that people are not really open to the truth. But thank God that there are people who are exposing it and educating us on it so that we'll know how serious it is. Well, it's just a real serious issue that we have right now until the Lord returns.
Definitely. And the interesting thing about this is that, you know, there are people definitely exposing it, like Chris Putnam and many other types of people who are doing their investigations. However, are people really listening, or do they even care to listen, and even amongst us believers? And that's the question here, and especially in these last days when we're approaching the you know, the end, so to speak, of this age, there will be a rise and increase in, you know, in the supernatural activity and paranormal things. Paranormal will be definitely becoming the norm. So, yeah, it's interesting, and let's look out and see what happens. Let me go on to this next article that I wanted to share, and this is about Congress that are seeking to pass a bill to cancel faith-based television. And it's written by William Rameau, who's with the Breathcast News. And he mentions that Congress are trying to pass a bill to cancel Christian and local TV programming. If it goes through, televisions like, I believe it's the it's Republican representative from Louisiana. His name is Steve Scalise. And he's saying that the act, he wants to eliminate the must-carry set of laws which honor free and local television, which, of course, carries all of the faith-based programming. And so TBN and a few of the other stations are up in arms about that. And, Ronnie, what do you think about this push in Congress to cancel faith-based television?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we can't – the Bible tells us over and over again not to marvel at the attempts and attacks against the truth and against the faith. And so what I first have to think is that, you know, it's to be expected. But what doesn't necessarily have to be is the lack of awareness towards this sort of attack. And so, you know, believers need to be informed on what their governments are trying to do to stop their right to be believers and their right to have access to Bibles and you know, Christian entertainment and things that support the message of the gospel. So the believers themselves need to, we need to come together and assert ourselves and, you know, use our vote. We need to use our presence, use our financial power, because we fund a lot of the things and a lot of the governors and a lot of the offices that are opposing us. So, you know, we can use our power, our practical power, as well as our spiritual power to make sure that their attempts aren't successful, because they're going to continue to attempt. But if we fall asleep on the matters, they'll be successful, just like, you know, a lot of laws that are passed that pull the Bibles out of school. They give reasons for doing all sorts of things, but we don't, not necessarily retaliate, but we don't recognize our position of power as far as if they're going to say that they're going to pull Christian programming, we have a right and a really an obligation to pull ourselves away from their secular programming. So once we do that, and we start using our practical as well as spiritual powers, we'll be all right. They can ban us all they want, but according to the separation of church and state, they can't stop us from growing, learning, teaching, exposing ourselves to what is right and what is true. And so it's really up to us to make sure that we have Christian programming. It's really up to us to make sure that we got Christian entertainment and things that support the gospel. It's really up to us, because they are going to attempt. We're in the world, but not of it. And the god of this world is Satan. And so he owns the government. He owns the officials, the people in the high places. And so, you know, we shouldn't be surprised, and we shouldn't be this comfortable in the world. You know, we should have come away from them funding their movies. We fund their movies. We pay their taxes. We support the world more than we support the gospel. And so this is just my whole concern is the lack of awareness in the body of Christ that these attempts are being made on things that represent the faith. So, you know, like I just say, I pray that people become aware to the things that are happening right now. This is not something from a long time ago. These attacks are occurring on faith right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, for those of you listening and you know, who are skeptics and who are really trying to find themselves in this whole cosmos as far as the battle between good and evil, those of you who, you know, are wondering, is there a God? I don't see Congress trying to ban yoga. I don't see Congress trying to ban satanic worship. I don't see Congress trying to ban Buddhists. I don't see Congress trying to ban Hinduism. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, they have a problem. So who is the real God? You know who it is. Cam, what's your comment?
Well, if you just look around, even on television, everything that glorifies Satan, everything that opposes God is being glorified. And, you know, even with the athletes coming out next day, I mean, all the things that you see in the media and in the government is going against the word of God and what God stands for. And if we don't figure out a way to get together and go against these things, people are being sucked into it more and more. You know, I was just watching how now they're doing a big interview. The guy, the first athlete that came out and said he was gay, that plays pro NBA basketball player. I mean, it's like he's being glorified for having this lifestyle. And so, just as Ronnie said, you know, this is Satan's world. He's running things down here, and we're just sitting back, not doing anything. You know, we do have our meetings. We are educating ourselves. We are becoming more knowledgeable of what's going on around us, but what are we really doing? You know, how are we really pulling together to do something about it? Are we really falling on our faces and seeking the face of God and asking him for direction on how we should come together and object and take a stand against all this stuff? I just don't see us doing it. Or if we are, we're not doing it enough. But, you know, if you look around, everything is evil. I mean, all the TV programs are geared to mutilation, humiliation. You know, I mean, everywhere you look on TV, somebody's being murdered, somebody's being raped. It's promoting, homosexuality and same-sex marriages. It's getting the Bible, like it says, you know, the hearts of men will wax colder and colder. There's no regard for life. You know, you can sit here and turn the TV on, and somebody's guts are being snatched out of them, or head being snapped off. I mean, it's becoming a norm now. And unless we really pull together in unity, I mean, that's one of the hardest things for the churches to do right now, for everybody to come together on one accord and agree, let alone try to take a stand against a lot of the stuff that's going on. I mean, I believe the Lord would have us to do something. And that's why I'm just really, you know, thankful that there are people that have invested their money and time into bringing movies to us like The Son of God and The Passion of Christ. I mean, The Son of God movie is a lot of people are interested in watching it. I'm sure there's a lot of unsaved as well as saved people watching it. But those people pulled together, they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it to get the gospel out there. And that's going to bring revival, I'm sure, in a lot of households, and a lot of people are going to truly wonder, who is Christ? What is coming? And so it's up to us as revelators and men and women of God to try to come together and seek God's manifestation to operate and move through us so we can, you know, come together and do something that will bring God glory and help revive people and get their hearts and minds turned toward Christ before he returns. Because before that great day comes, there are going to be many that are going to be lost unless, you know, they really get that word in them, or they have the, I'm sure God's going to allow them opportunity to hear the word, but sometimes people will hear it and then they really don't, maybe they're not compelled to come, but, you know, many will get, reach them, truly reach them and explain what's really going on. I'm sure their hearts would turn.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's my news for today. And Ronnie, do you have anything to share with us today?
Yeah, I got one article here that I found in the in Christian Headline News. It's an article by Russ Jones, and they're talking about in Arizona, the Arizona governor. There's this bill called the 1062 bill in Arizona. And I don't know if any of you guys or if any of the listeners are familiar with maybe a couple months ago, you know, before the end of the year, mid last year, there were a couple cases where there were some store owners, I believe Chick-fil-A included, who were coming under persecution because of their stance on the whole same-sex marriage thing. There was like a cake, someone who made cakes, wedding cakes, who, you know, was in the news and accused of, you know, being a gay basher and things of that nature. So, you know, he went under persecution and they, you know, tried to protest his store and boycott his store and march against his store just because him as a believer didn't feel that it lined up with what he believes in, according to not his opinion, but according to the word of God, that, you know, him to have part in a same-sex marriage. So he refused a gay couple. He refused their business because of his faith. And there were a couple other occasions. If we know, all we got to do is go back a couple months and we can find out that there was more than one occasion where something like this happened. And so now we're dealing with this bill, the 1062 bill in Arizona. And the article goes like this, that the Arizona governor, Jan Brewer, voted a controversial bill Wednesday that would have allowed businesses to legally refuse service based on religious beliefs. So that's what they were fighting for. And that's pretty much a right that we have, because there's as much rights to exercise your faith as there is, you know, opposing exercising your faith. And so here we have, in recent days, there has been a mounting opposition regarding the Senate Bill 1062 from corporations as well as the LGBT community. Critics claim the law would have discriminated against gays, allowing those who do not support same-sex marriage to deny service. The conservative Republican governor said during a press conference that she could not sign a bill that didn't seem necessary. The Senate bill 1062 does not, this is her quote, the bill 1062 does not address a specific and present concern related to religious liberty in Arizona, said Brewer. I have not heard of one example in Arizona where a business owner's religious liberty has been violated. The bill is broadly worded and could result in unintended and negative consequences. After weighing all of the arguments, I voted Senate Bill 1062 moments ago. And so she voted against it. And so, like I said, this bill would have gave store owners and business owners a right to not just be hearers but doers of the word, as far as, you know, not participating in sin and not being forced or sued or anything. You know, McDonald's has a sign, no hat, no shoes, no service, and, you know, they can do that. But a believer who has a deeper conviction, whose commandment is coming from God, can't exercise their right to just stay free of, you know, just to not partake in the sin. you know. And so numerous corporations like Apple, American Airlines, and even the National Football League encouraged Brewer to reject the bill. So here we have corporate, we have corporations, and if anyone is really doing their homework or if they're awake, you're going to see that there's a definite link to the money that these corporations bring to cities, bring to the, it's the industries that are funding the government for the most part, and in a lot of areas in our society. And so, because when you get an Apple, when you get American Airlines, when you get the whole football league behind a bill, it's because they have a political interest and they do have a voice. And so here we have the government, because this is the mode of operation. In a lot of times we have the government who is taking cues from the corporations, and it's the corporations that are owned by the families and the so-called royalties that actually run the countries and the world. It's the families behind these corporations that are pushing buttons in our governments, and here is a clear example. And so they established the Republicans' presidential nominee, and you know they made a quick appeal. And so basically, we have an opportunity for people's religious rights to be protected. And it was vetoed, and they were denied their rights to serve who they wanted in a free country because there's corporations that tell the governments what to do. And if you understand the book of Revelation, you'll understand that it's going to be the government that's powered, you know, by Satan that's going to, you know, be the first hand of the beast. And so here we got the corporations funding the beasts right now, because the corporations are owned by the, you know, demonic families. And so here we're seeing where corporations are telling the government what to do, whether it's right or wrong. And so it's really a money issue. And right now you have business owners in Arizona that are going to be facing more persecution because they believe that the Bible is true and they're living according to Scripture. And so they don't have the right to deny, you know, things that they don't want to take part of. So that's that article. Like I said, it's in the Christian Headline News online, and it's the governor votes controversial bill for religious beliefs. And so, you know, Raz, you got anything to say about that article?
Not a whole lot. I mean, it's interesting to see how soon that will spread out around the country. And you know, different states adopting the same sort of stance, you know, but definitely, you know, it's I don't really have much to say about that, but definitely the homosexual agenda, they've been very aggressive from the very beginning, and this is just another way of them flexing their muscles, you know, when it comes to challenging our Christian belief system. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I mean, is it possible that if you don't sell or support a homosexual, you know, people who practice homosexuality, that you can be, you know, your business can be in jeopardy? I mean, do you think it's that serious right now, Lonnie?
At the moment, I wouldn't say it, but like Raz said, you're not dealing with a passive group of people. I'm not saying they're aggressive in the sense of, you know, they're breaking windows and things of that nature. What they do is they use their political power to their advantage, and they get the signatures, and they get the they get people to back their movement. And if they wanted to, they could very well, with the help of government and big companies, start shutting down businesses and leaders that are against homosexuality because they're for eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just it might not be that bad now, but a lot of things start in an you know, we know that things start in the spirit realm first. Yeah. And so we know the spirit behind that whole movement, the spirit that would cause a person to think they're a guy when they're a girl, and the spirit that would cause somebody to lie to themselves, we know that that's directly from the enemy. And so, you know, we're dealing with really, we're dealing with the spirit of the enemy. So, you know, gradually the enemy has to use this group of people to do their part in shutting down anything that stands for truth. And so, yeah, if... You know, you threaten a man's livelihood, you basically trying to cut him off at the roots.
Well, you know, I you can slowly see the merge of all this control taking place. I was in a dressing room, me and my daughter was in a dressing room, and, you know, when you're trying on clothes, you know, you open the door, you come out, you look in the mirrors, you know, because you want a little bit more room to move around, and a guy just walked by, you know, and I'm... You're like, you know, it's almost like, you know, our rights are being taken away from us. You know, now you got guys that think they're women can come into the dressing room where the women dress. You know, and it is, thank God I had clothes on because I wasn't exposed when you walked by. You know, or
and they can even come into the bathrooms now.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's disgraceful. You know, it's just downright disgraceful, and I just pray that before the Lord returns, that we will have, you know, it won't be as bad as we think it's going to be. We know it's going to get worse. We do know that, but how much of it are we going to have to endure or see or experience before he actually comes and takes the church out of here?
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, let's on with the show. I was reading a Princeton, New Jersey recent Gallup survey, which concluded that most Americans believe in the supernatural, according to the survey. And I wanted us to take a quick look at the most popular beliefs that Americans have about the supernatural. And 47% of Americans believe in extrasensory perception, or ESP. 41% of Americans believe that houses can be haunted. 37% of Americans believe that ghosts, that spirits of dead people, can come back in certain places and situations. 32% of Americans believe in telepathy, that is communication between minds without using traditional senses. And 31% believe in clairvoyance, the power of the mind to know the past and predict the future. 26% believe in astrology, or that the position of the stars and planets can affect people's lives. 25% believe that people can communicate mentally with someone who has died, and 21% believe in witches, and 20% believe in channeling, allowing a spirit being to temporarily assume control of the body. It would appear that modern culture is no longer content with fictional accounts of paranormal activity. Instead, people crave the real thing. On any given day, you can drive past a palm reading shop, check into a haunted hotel, and flip on the TV to watch a ghost hunting reality show. Evidence of witchcraft used to result in being burned at the stake. Now it's a money-making entertainment hustle. Much like the Witch of Endor in the Book of Samuel, no person can really know or control the paranormal, and to invite a power you don't know can be incredibly dangerous. So, Ronnie, a question to you, sir, is what do you think is the why are we seeing such an increase in the supernatural in this time and day?
Well, okay. Here's what I see. It's that, one, we know according to scripture, everybody, you know, needs to fill the spiritual void that they have. We know that we're made up of our soul, our flesh, and spirit. And like you said earlier, there's only two authorities in the spirit realm. It's either the authority of our Father that created all things, or the authority of the evil one that you know, rebelled against our Father. And so those are the two spiritual authorities out there. We still, as humans, have this void that we need to fill spiritually. And so, unfortunately, because we're dealing with a crafty enemy, he's put so many options out there that you would ignore the one true option. And so you have people, maybe because of either church hurt, maybe because of either false teaching, or, you know, maybe just due to lack of the right attention, you know, seek spirituality and a spiritual connection to God or something like that in other places, because it suits their need. It's the itching ears thing. It's what they want to hear, and it lines up with what they'd like to do and how they'd like to reach God. And so with the yogas and the many other forms of meditation and other ways to either reach God or be like God, people have so much to choose from that they just, some of them die before they actually come into the truth. And so, I don't really think that it's a new phenomenon, because if we look in our history just in America, that, like, there's buildings in America without 13 floors because of the fear of supernatural. You know, carrying a lucky rabbit's foot is not strange in a lot of circles. And so some people, they don't walk under ladders because there's something spiritual attached to that thing. Don't break a mirror. That's 7 years bad luck. And so, you know, you can go up to anyone and they're familiar with these things, and there's probably more of them. Don't step on a crack on the ground. And so, unfortunately, they've been pacifying themselves with superstition instead of the truth about the supernatural and the things that they experience and the senses that they're dealing with and the encounters that they have. And so that's the responsibility for the believers and the churches and the leaders to address these things and demystify the supernatural so that people can, one, get their questions answered, two, know that the source of all things supernatural and the true authority of all things supernatural is our Father. And so once they get that information, they'll be able to have better discernment when they're encountering fallen angels. They'll know the difference between the will of God and, you know, the deception of Satan. And so, you know, that's my take on it. But, yeah, we have a lot of – look at all the vampire movies. There's a fascination with the supernatural, you know, in these modern times. It's just that people have put the scriptures in a category to where they're not good enough. But what people fail to realize is – Your gurus and your shamans, they'll tell you about supernatural things. They might even tell you how to conjure up a thing. But it's your scriptures and your Bibles that tell you the origin of what you're dealing with. And so just encourage people to lead other people to the scriptures and meet their needs so that they can cast their cares on the Savior.
Absolutely. Pam, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I suppose most people that don't want Christ is, well, he did say that they that worship him in spirit and truth. And you have many that don't want truth because, you know, we understand that God is a holy God. God is omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's all-knowing, he's everlasting, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's just to die. I mean, we can go down the list of how powerful he is. And for those that diligently seek him, you know, he will manifest himself to. He will speak to, whether it be dreams or through prophetic visions and, like I said, dreams or the Word of God. He's an awesome God that does not allow us to walk in darkness, but he'll give us not just the gift to discern things, but he'll you know, we'll feel him speaking in our hearts. And so you have many who don't understand how the power of God works and how it operates and how they can get into his presence, because he's such a holy God. You can't just come any way. And he's given us instruction as to how we are to come, how we are to humble ourselves before him so that his presence can come and dwell with man, with us, and with us. But we have many who reject the awesomeness of God, the power of God. They don't want a holy lifestyle. They want to live a lascivious lifestyle. So that's why they're seeking satanic rituals and mediums and palm readers and soothsayers and witch, all the witchcraft stuff. people are of the rebellious state because of their flesh. They choose to do what they want to do according to their flesh. And God said that we are not. He said that we should be holy because why? Because he is holy. So therefore, you know, every man has a right to choose who he's going to serve. Jesus told us that he is the way, the truth, and the light, and no man can come unto the Father except through him. So unless they come through, come that way, they will not even have be able to experience the power of God in on that peaceful note, the will to come and sup with men. He said he will come and sup with us and dwell with us. And we are able to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. But again, we have to worship him in spirit and truth. And like, you know, most people that reject Christ is because they choose to serve Satan because they're serving their flesh. And that's become a problem. Receiving.
That's a good point.
Pardon me?
Go ahead, Pam. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's where the separation is. That's why he said that, you know, he's come to separate the sheep from the goat. The rebellious people that choose to reject Christ and to reject the word and choose to live after the lust of their own flesh, there's going to come a time where he was talking about the sickle, you know, and the wheat. I mean, there's going to come a great separation, and many are not going to ever experience the power of God in their life because why? They've chosen to seek after the fake and the phony and the false gods that Satan has got them deceived and put them to believe. But a true worshiper knows how to get to the presence of God. And that's my comment.
Definitely. Well, guys, you know, there's definitely a distinction between the paranormal and the supernatural, and this describes the part of the cosmos that is not bound by the natural laws that ordains the operation of the universe. Now, there is no inherent physicality to the paranormal, and the physical cannot create or control it. Only the spiritual can, and the only spiritual powers are God and demons. So we see God's supernatural power every day, and that's in Acts 17:28, which says, "In him we live and move and have our very being. Life is impossible without the ever-present work of God." On occasion, though, God does empower his angels to interact with people on earth, such as in the sense we may experience godly paranormal activity, but like the witch of Endor knew, we cannot control or dictate God's supernatural work in our lives. We can only be surprised when it happens. The other source of supernatural power is demonic. That's an important point to stress because a lot of paranormal activity today is not of God. It's blatantly demonic, period. So there's no other type of paranormal activity, and there is no neutral paranormal activity. There is God, and there are demons who want to destroy us. So we cannot direct demonic power any more than we can control God's power. The Bible teaches us that clearly that the whole world is under the sovereignty of demonic forces, and that's 1 John 5:19, for those of you who want to do your research on that. But demons are above all else very, very deceptive. And John 8:44, they will allow us to think that you are in control when really they are drawing you further under their influence. So that's something interesting to really take into consideration when you're dealing with the paranormal. For those of you that are interested in the paranormal and ghosts and vampires and things of that nature, you really need to understand that these things that you're interested in, even though they may seem interesting and scientific, they are deeply steeped in the demonic realms. And by delving in them, you're going to open yourself up to that kind of influence. So, guys, while we're waiting for Chris Putnam to come on the line, I want to quickly talk about the Catholic Church. Ronnie, we were talking about the Catholic Church's they've done a lot of extensive research in UFO phenomenon and aliens. And, in fact, I'm sure when Chris comes on, he'll definitely substantiate the fact that they've actually come out with statements suggesting that they have been in contact with alien life on other planets and are soon to come out with news to let the world know that we should embrace aliens as our space brothers, or they're going to actually come out and say that Jesus Christ is a star child, meaning that he is an offspring or the virgin birth was actually caused by an alien entity or an abduction type scenario. So Ronnie and Pam, starting with you, Ronnie, I want us to talk about this real brief while we're waiting for Chris to come on the line. What is your thoughts about this, and how does this play into the end times? Because I really believe this is connected to the Catholic Church preparing this, because either they know something is coming, or they know they've been knowing this for a long time, and it's been a long time in the works, being preparing the stage for this. So, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, you know, this is not like an attack on the Catholic Church. It's just that this institution that we're looking at, first, according to Christian history, okay, we know that when we're dealing with those seven churches in Revelation, we know that the fourth church is a full-blown compromised church that does and serves in a way that is not really for God. And so that we're dealing with that being a fact, we see the cause is a compromise. And so this compromise became what actually corrupted the truth. And so now we see the effect today when you look at all of either the practices, the rituals, the things that they believe, the things that popes have said themselves, lead you to not just think but know that they do not view the Bible the same way as just a born-again believer. And so we know that the title of Catholic is universal. And so when you say universal, you really don't leave, there's no boundaries. And like Pam said earlier, the Savior set a definite boundary. He said, no man comes to the Father except through me. This statement right here can never, ever be ignored when dealing with the Scriptures. No matter what denomination you want to call yourself, if you believe what the Bible says, let's not ignore that declaration right there by the Savior, that no man comes to the Father except through me. Now we look back at the Catholic Church that we have. We see that they have many ways to get to the Father. And then we go back to Scripture to understand that broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the road that we take. And so once the Catholic Church teaches people how to take a broad way, you're starting to deal with what is also can be known as the depths of Satan. And so once you get, yeah, it's a knowledge, and they have a lot of artifacts, and they have a lot of accounts, but no one's asking are they divine or are they demonic. And so the Catholic Church, you'll see that. You'll see sun worship. You'll see Mary being worshipped. You see saints being worshipped. You see popes being called replacements for Christ. Now, if anything is a replacement for Christ, like if I have a replacement for my wife, that means I'm dishonoring my true wife. And so if I have a replacement for my Savior, I'm saying volumes about how much disrespect for the death, burial, resurrection this organization is showing, whether they know it or not. I don't believe that the old lady with the rosary understands how deep this institution is as far as going, you know, away from the truth of the living word. And so, you know, them having the sovereignty that they have is the Vatican City, them having the relics and the fact that every dignitary goes and bows before the Pope. Hitler and the Pope were in cahoots, you know, when he was slaughtering Jews. And people forget that the Catholics used to kill Christians and persecute them. And so, you know, you're not dealing with an organization that's biblical. So a lot of people that are outside of the faith, they think Catholics and Christians are one and the same. But when you look beneath the surface, you can judge correctly and see that we're not called to call any man on earth my spiritual father at all. The spiritual father that I have loved me so much that he humbled himself and became a servant to die for my sake. And so that title of honor I give to nobody else except for the Savior. But here in the Catholic Church, it's a practice to call men on earth your father. So that's one rejection of the biblical truth. Then you have, like I said, the worship of Mary. No man comes to the Father except through me. So no man comes to the Father through Mary. We don't do good luck charms. We do the way, the truth, and the life. And here they perpetuate a lot of Eastern mysticism because it's a universal church, meaning come and submit to our not just spiritual rule but governmental rule. People have to attach the fact that, you know, the Roman Catholic setup comes out of a part political and part spiritual, but all totally to conquer, you know, the minds of the people of the world. It's for world domination. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that they're delving into things that are opposed to the Bible because it suits their character, you know, down to the clergy, down to the I think it's called venerating. They venerate their popes and, you know, they mummify them and they worship the way the heathens worshiped in Egypt. And, you know, that's why whoever's dealing with the Catholicism needs to really take a closer look at it, look at the history of it, and then just open the Bible and line it up and see if it's something that a born-again believer should be relying on.
Absolutely. You know, something's definitely happening, and they believe, you know, they believe in the existence of aliens and UFOs, and according to let me just say this, there's a telescope that I believe it's based in Arizona, and it's connected to an infrared camera called Lucifer. They call it Lucifer, and it's called this the whole project is actually called the Lucifer Project, and it's headed by the Vatican chief astronomer. And his name is, I believe his name is Corrado Balducci. And he stated that very soon the nations will look to aliens for their salvation. Where are they coming from with this, you know what I mean? So that's recording. This is a leading Vatican astronomer saying this. Very soon the nations will look to the aliens for their salvation. Now another spokesman for the Vatican made a very crazy statement to me. He said that there is an alien presence on Earth right now. And this is important. Why is this important? Because it's definitely going to affect Christian belief. And I want to read a quote from Father Giuseppe Tanzella, a professor at the Vatican University. And he stated, very soon we will not have to deny our Christian faith, but there is information coming from another world, and once it is confirmed, it is going to require a rereading of the gospel as we know it. Pam, what do you think about that?
Wow. You know, it definitely sounds like, I mean, if they're talking about aliens, it's definitely demonic. It's definitely communicating with demons. I mean, it looks as though, you know, this is just definitely what's coming into play as the one world religion. And it's going to have a lot of Catholics in it, and I'm sure it's going to have a lot of other religions in it too, but the one world religion is basically where we're headed. The religious system that's united with the political system, and it's basically going to be set up to manipulate the people on the earth into one false government, approved religion. And you know, it's just a matter of time. We're definitely headed in that direction. You know, I believe it's all originated, as Ronnie knows a lot about this information, about the Tower of Babel. You know, it's the harlot. It's the system. And, you know, when you look back in the days of Jesus, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't want the people. They didn't even want the people looking up to Jesus. They wanted the people to look up to them. You know, they were like standing in trying to block people from receiving the word of God, receiving Christ. They wanted them to look up to them and see what is that? That's definitely manipulation. That is definitely the influence of satanic influence. I mean, these people had to be influenced by Satan himself because they're condoning homosexuality. I mean, they're covering up these men. They take these men who molest a child, then they send them to another place and then they do it again there. They cover it up. And it's almost like it's a norm. It's like they condone, you know, these grown men to have sex with these little boys. You know, and people have been doing it in other church religions, not just the Catholic Church. This has been going on in some of your holiness churches, too, okay, your Baptist churches, your, you know. So, but what I'm saying is with that alien thing, well, basically what it sounds like is that they're paving the way for demonic influence to come in and literally take over. And, you know, I guess that's why the scripture says that if God hadn't shortened the day, there wouldn't be any footsteps up there because he knows what's coming. So when they talk aliens, you know, they got to be talking about demons, the influence of demonic activity for people to turn away from Christ and to turn towards Satan. And that's what it sounds like to me.
Absolutely. Ronnie, in your opinion, where is this heading? Because, I mean, the Catholic Church, either they like I said, they know something or suspect something is coming, and they're trying to prepare the Catholic faith and beyond, really preparing the whole world. And in light of the scriptures, we need to be able to have an apologistic view to defend the faith when this type of information hits the world and it becomes worldwide knowledge. We as believers have to defend the faith. So, in your opinion, where is this headed?
Well, like I said, if we look at the whole history of church, we know that Catholicism, you know, was a part of our history, but that's just where it should have stayed. It's something that believers should have outgrown, and at this point, it should have probably been, you know, put aside. Like, just there comes a time where you outgrow your diapers and things of that nature. And so, this, as far as our faith is concerned, is one of those things that has already served its purpose. And you know, the Catholic Church served its purpose as far as its contributions in the Christian history. They canonized the Bible. There's a lot of relics that they have, and you know, there's a lot of history. But then, as soon as you see the obelisk, this is where you should divorce that institution, because they don't just have an obelisk; they have an obelisk directly from Egypt. They worship the sun just like the Egyptians did, and so there's plenty of signs for the people that claim to be Catholic to move away from it. That's the thing. The Father's not going to just leave you out here with no clue. But then, like Pam said, you know, some people are searching for what they want to hear, because the truth is there. Just on the obelisk alone is enough for you to leave. Then once you go into St. Peter's Basilica and you look on the ground and realize you're standing in a zodiac table, there's another reason for you to know that there's something more to this place or this institution than just the life, death, and burial and resurrection of our Savior for our sake, you know, for his good pleasure. So the thing is, there's plenty of signs for there. And so, you know, I have family members that were raised Catholic. I met a young man in front of my house, and then I was trying to witness to him. And, you know, he said something that showed me their mentality. I asked him, do you belong to Christ? And he said, no, I'm Catholic. I don't believe he knew what he was saying, but it just goes to show you that Christ isn't their salvation, because they have the saints, they have the angels, they have the popes, and they have the priests that take higher ranking than the King of Kings. And so where is it going? It's going according to the enemy's plan. Because the enemy doesn't mind if you're religious. The enemy just doesn't want you to have a true relationship with the Savior. And so this, as well as many other religions, you know, they bring you close but no cigar. And that's all the enemy needs for you to die, you know, in your ignorance or in your sin, and just cause you to not take the next step and accept salvation, you know, not just communion.
Absolutely. You know, I want to ask both of you, Ronnie and Pam, you guys are students of eschatology, which is the study of the end times and the book of Revelations. What can people expect? What are the people who don't know about Revelations, what can they expect to happen between now and the tribulation? Describe vividly what will be the horrors, what will be the evil, the supernatural activity. Can you describe some of the specifically the things that can be expected? And I'll start with you, Pam.
Well, I was going to ask Ronnie if you heard about this money that you can buy online called I can't remember the name of what they're calling it, but it's like it's instead of using your debit card, you're actually going online, you're purchasing some type of way to, through the internet to purchase items. Have you heard anything about that, Ronnie? Called Byte something?
Well, it's called what, Pam?
I guess the reason why I want to ask you is because it looks as though we're moving into we're moving more into Revelation. The future, chapters 4, chapter 22, is taking us more into the things that are about to happen. And one of the things that we can see right now is the dollar bill, or using technology, is going down to the point where it may no longer exist pretty soon. And so that's one of the things that people can see coming into play before Christ returns. We're going to start seeing different events taking place. You know, as the book of Revelations has warned us through John, the Revelator. But I was just wondering if Ronnie had heard anything about that, because when I heard that, I started to realize, okay, they said do away with the money, the cash, the dollar. That is going into the New World Order right there. And just like what you guys are talking about with these one world religions, which is going to be based on astrology and sorcery, even the mysteries and legends of what, the Semiramis and the Tumas, that's all Egyptology right there. So it seems as though these false religions do is take us further into types of worship beliefs and pull us away from God, but then you also see the government also taking away the rights of the people, as far as people being able to worship Christ and live a peaceful life and loving God that way. It seems as though they're trying, the government is supporting Satan, the people that worship Satan. You see more satanic events taking place. And I think by those type of things being manifested around us, the evil is permeating, is getting more, it appears to be getting more powerful, which we know Christ is still in control of everything, but he does have to allow some of these things to take place because, you know, there's a sifting process where he's got to separate the wheat and the tares. But as you see more satanic activity happening in the Catholic Church and those that followers of Satan, as you look at the music industry, I mean, these people are already followers of Satan. They've probably already been trained and told that Satan is going to rise. They're probably looking for him to rise to power, okay, and manifest himself in a human being that will be transparent, that will be visible for them. But we also know that Christ will return and will come back to overthrow him. But in the meantime, they have already been brainwashed to serve Satan and believe in his powers, because look at all the, you know, power that he's given these people. So I guess how I'm trying to answer your question is that things are manifesting right now before our faces. Okay? The evil that we see right now is satanic and is demonic, and it's gonna get worse. And so we just have to know that God has a plan, and God is going to deliver his people, those that have an ear to hear. Need to hear right now. We need to respond to the call of God again if you have a chance.
Absolutely. Ronnie, same question to you.
Well, yeah, okay. What to expect according to Scripture. Let's deal with right now, okay? Good. Right now, it's just like any party, you know, the preparation is also part of the party. And so once the stages are being set, the technology is in place, the government is going according, the government is totally opposed to the Bible, and even entertainment it embraces the things that, you know, we're told to either leave alone or we're told that these things are evil. So the stage is being set, and the conditioning of the minds of people who think there's a neutral, like there's no right in the bench in this game. And so a lot of people think that you can just, you know, stay out of it and see how things pan out. But those that understand Scripture know that the stage is already being set. And so, like I said, look at your governments. Look at right now, this month of February, we've seen that, I think, I can only remember two, but there's three nations right now that the people are revolting against the government, and the government is using, like, real violence against their own citizens, killing their citizens, sniping the citizens with live ammunition. There's, I believe it's Kiev and Thailand and one more place that escapes me right now. But our televisions aren't showing that. We're watching, you know, we're getting fed junk food for news. You learn there's more celebrity news outweighs the true things happening on this earth right now, especially in America, than anything else. And so you can ask a person what's going on in Kiev, they won't know. But what's going on with Kanye West, they know. And this is what's putting us on, this is what's setting us up to just be part of the enemy's plan, you know. And so it's going to make it easier when people's mentalities are like that, when people's guards are dropped, when there's no leadership that stands for righteousness, then, you know, the rest of the people are just up for grabs and the enemy is going to take them. And so what people can look forward to, according to the book of Revelations, we're going to be looking at now the scene is set. And so just take a look around at the climate of things, of morality and what's legal and what's being exposed and what's not being rebuked. So that's one clue to show you that things are not going to get better. And so that's one. Two, you're going to see that first the devil is going to assume power through the government. The government is going to, it's going to be backed up by the Antichrist, the devil incarnate. And a lot of people say that seat is the seat of the Pope. Which Pope? I don't know. But when you read the book of Revelation, you see that they're definitely talking about Rome. They're definitely talking about one religious figure who has the power from the devil to actually, you know, deceive the whole world into falling into in line with the one world religion. And right now you look around and you see these interfaith groups. These interfaith groups are just a sign. They're not the destination, but they're just a sign showing you that the one world religion is already being cooked up as we live right now. And so what people can expect is exactly what the Scripture says, that the times are already evil. Not that they will be evil, that they're already evil. And they're the only way to escape the wrath of God for the evil that was here before any of us was born is accepting eternal life.
Well, guys, you heard it from Ronnie. That's powerful. Well, guys, you know, we were expecting Chris Putnam on tonight, maybe because he's back east, maybe he's a little late due to the weather, I'm not too sure. But anyhow, I want to go pass anything on to the panel to see if there's anything particular they want to discuss that they feel is relevant for tonight's topic.
Okay. You got anything, Pam?
Well, I was just really you know, I wanted to ask more about the telescope that you were talking about, and if you can elaborate a little bit more on that, Ronnie. That was, you know, pretty interesting what you were talking about with the telescope and this alien, you know, communication at the Catholic Church has going on right now. I'm just kind of interested a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. This Project Lucifer, which stands for Large Binocular Telescope Near Infrared Utility with Camera and Integral Field Unit for Extragalactic Research. And it's an instrument attached to a telescope in Arizona, and it's named for the devil, whose name means morning star, and which happens to be right next to the Vatican Observatory on Mount Graham in Tucson. And, you know, it's people like Chris Putnam and Tom Horn have heavily researched into this project. And the whole purpose for this product is to looking for alien life on other planets. And actually, if from what the reports have shown, they've shown that looking through the Lucifer telescope, they've seen ships, a plentitude of ships, and objects flying throughout space, and even flying to and from the Earth, and that can be backed up by these investigations and accounts from various astrologers, Vatican astrologers. I believe they're from of the Jesuit order, and many others. And so that's pretty much what's happening with the Lucifer Project. It's an ongoing push, it's real. I mean, UFOs are, you know, they're captured on screens, you know, flying really fast through the heavens and throughout space. So it's definitely real.
Okay.
Wow. Well, I'd like to talk about our role right now as believers, and like our duty. Like, I think that needs to be identified, because the faith is over 2,000 years old, you know, and people still don't know exactly what it is yet. That's one. Then you got people that are in the faith that don't agree. And the Bible says that we're supposed to be of the same mind and the same judgment. And we're having a problem getting it together. And so it's like we're not being effective to the rest of society that the Father's trusted us to, you know, seek and save. And so my whole thing is that we can talk about or identify and come up with some solutions for the body of believers that are on the earth right now to be, here's the charge. The charge is to be more effective on purpose. The charge right here that I have, that I'm saying, is that the body of Christ would take time to be just that, servants. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Exodus, but the whole purpose of the people coming out of Egypt was so that they could serve. The whole purpose of us coming into salvation is so that we could serve. And so we've been sanctified so that we could serve. And our service, or the harvest, this is what the Savior says, the harvest is this, that people be brought into eternal life. And me, from my personal, with my own eyes, I've been around a few people, a few things, and I'm seeing that the body of Christ is more about entertainment than they are about saving souls. Because you have let's say you have a minister whose whole ambition is to go to travel the world and preach the gospel. And that's great that the gospel goes around the world. And the scripture does say that, you know, the whole world's going to hear the gospel. That's cool. That's a good ambition. But the thing is, you want to go to Zimbabwe, but you ignore the people on your own street. You ignore the people that you in the grocery store with. You don't witness to the kids that walk by your house. And so it's like, you know, I just like the body of Christ to get their priorities together. You understand? And it's not like a criticism as much as it is a charge to change that. And it's not going to be done by us talking. I'll know that it's happening because I'm in a city with 60 churches. And there's still, you know, spiritual famine going on all throughout my city. If I wasn't, I'm not saying I'm the only one, but if these 60 churches filled with the congregations that are in them were actually putting their hands to the plow in this city, investing the Spirit of God that they have in the city that they live, I'd be able to see it with my own eyes, just like I see the lack thereof. And so, you know, that's my thing. The fact that the body of Christ is here and it's not making no effect on the neighborhoods, on the children, on the people, on the job site, people that you work with. You read your Bible in a corner at the job and you don't witness to nobody. This is just I'm seeing that more than I see people who are willing to break that awkward line and at least sow a seed of salvation. I'm not saying nag the person and Bible scripture them to death. I'm just saying don't just walk by him and not offer him eternal life. And so that's the concern that I have. If we were more effective where we are right now, you know, we have children with youth groups, children that go to youth group. This is something interesting that this non-believer told me. He said he went to church and he looked around. He didn't say it like this, but he said what turned him off was the lack of reverence to what was being taught there. That's what turned him off. There was no reverence to the word. So, you know, they don't care about it, so why should he? So you have children in youth groups that sit in the youth groups. They're texting. They're playing games. They're doing whatever. But regardless, when they leave the youth group, they leave their faith at the church. They don't witness at the schools. It's probably not every single one, but like I said, if it was happening at a proper rate, you'd be able to see it in the environment. You'd be able to see it in the children that are around you. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, that's what's been on my heart truly. And so, you know, Raz, you got anything to say about that? Maybe a
absolutely, yeah.
A solution
I totally agree with you, Ronnie. What I'm seeing is churches with people who have a lot of positions in the church, but I see a lot of religion going on. The religion is really tainted and diluted the truth. And what we're really, the reason why I believe the church is very ineffective is because they're doing it through their religious traditions and religious belief systems, which are totally erroneous to the truth. And and teaching things that are not really the word of God, but just teaching their religion, the things that they say, their cliche statements, all these things have no power in and of itself, and therefore, you know, you have no power to have an effect on people's lives, and that's what I'm seeing. And you're right, it's about entertainment. It's about people, you know, people want to become biblical superstars, you know what I mean, or Christian superstars, and this whole. It's like Hollywood. It's like you have the music industry, you have Hollywood, and you have Christendom, which is where you have star preachers that are preaching the word, and they can sound good. And then if they sound good, that's their gift. You know, the Bible says the gifts of God are wrapped with repentance. That's their gift. They're good orators and talkers and whatnot. But are they really speaking truth? And that's the thing that I'm seeing. You know, I really believe that that there's too much religion going on, too much. And Ronnie, we've had conversations recently about religious people and how they behave, and they sound good, they talk loud like a clanging cymbal, and when it comes to it, they have no love. They have no love. They're quick to crucify you. Quick to put you down, you know. That's my comment, brother.
Yep. Pam, you got any solutions to the problem?
Well, what I've been doing is when I get to work, I'll take some of the stuff that I've learned from our Revelation class, like some of the handouts that Dr. D gives us, I'll photocopy them, and I another flyer that I made, I created years ago about end times. It's kind of written up like a news flash. Rack, and then they'll be in there for about a couple of weeks or something until somebody gets a hold of them and takes them and throws them out. Then I'll go put another stash in there, you know. Mm. But that's one way that I've been trying to reach those. Then, like I said, the handouts, I'll make photocopies of them, and I'll just give them to people on my job to read, hoping that will spark up an interest, you know.
That's good.
And I put that in their hand, and they may not read it, but who knows, maybe they'll come back to it, and then they'll look at it later. And, you know, and I ask God to, you know, help me, because I don't want to get, I don't want people to think I'm trying to bombard them with a whole lot, but sometimes if I just give them a piece of paper and it lists all the teen events, the chronological order of revelations and how each event's going to take place, well, the order of each event, I think about 15 on that list that we had, Ronnie. I'll give them that, you know, and walk away. But you know, but I really do sense that when you're trying to share with people, some of them do turn a deaf ear. They don't really want to hear. They'll act like they want to hear, but then they just don't. So you just have to stay persistent. And I just talk to people whenever the opportunity, the door opens for me to get a conversation in, I'll just tell them about the Book of Revelation, and I'll offer, you know, to come do a home Bible study with them, you know, because I know people will have, you know, the transportation issues were far for them, or they can't make it, so I'll offer that. But, you know, it is a time, like I said, people need to know the word, and we do have to get it out there. We can't, you know, just sit back and not say anything. There are times we have to discern and pray for the right time to approach the person, too, and you got to approach them the right way. And that people that are going to churches, I think they're getting caught up in going like a ritual. It's like they're going, you can tell people, it's just like a ritual thing. Are they really getting in that closet and seeing the face of God on their own? Are they really opening up that book and that word and studying it and praying and asking God to take them to another dimension and reveal truth to them? People are just taking the time to spend with God. And I find myself, you know, when I feel opposition or the adversary is acting up around me on my job because whatever strife or envy or jealousy I have to from other females on the job, or it could be from anybody, I start speaking the word of God around me, or I start praying, and or I'll just start singing a song, you know, quietly to myself, and you'll be surprised the peace of God that comes. You'll be surprised how, you know, people begin to take you a little bit more serious. They'll start to see, okay, this person's really serious. They're not just a form of God, because they're really calling down the power, calling down fire from heaven, you know, and you just have to know how to go into that spiritual realm. You got to get out of your flesh, because a lot of times when you're going through opposition and persecution, whatever, or you see things around you just are orchestrated by Satan, because Satan can get in at people who are not really walking with God, and he'll use them as instruments. But when you can get into get out of your flesh and focus on the word, sometimes that can be a witness too. But people will start to begin to say, oh, this girl really got the power of God moving on her because of her behavior, the way she smiles every day. You know, just showing, just being a light is powerful in itself. When you can just keep a smile on your face and you're consistent with that, that's one of the things that I notice people identify me with at work is I'm constantly keeping upbeat and I'm constantly smiling. Even when things around me don't seem to be peaceful, I still allow the Spirit of God to permeate through me. And so that's what you have to do. And so, like, when you go to churches and you see different things going on that's not godly, you know, maybe that might be an opportunity to into somebody's life, a prophetic word, you know, something that might spark their interest to start to seek God even more because, you know, we are the light. and the salt of the earth. And, you know, we have, you know, God is going to cut down anything that's not bearing fruit. Okay? So we have to have good fruit. We have to bear good fruit. And, you know, otherwise it'd be cut off. It's like the fig tree.
Right. And I think the main thing that we also need is really to have love for our brothers, because if we love somebody, we don't want to see them perish in the lake of fire, and therefore we want to share the truth with them, and we need to also be well equipped and be well versed. You know, I'm talking to myself as well, as you know we all need to be better examples. I know I do, of what it is to be a believer and to love your brother and to really minister to them and show them, you know what I mean, what's really going on. And to do that, we need to really be studying and really be very well versed in the things of this world, such as the supernatural and all the different things that are out there that are competing for people's attention and their lives.
I agree.
So that's my comment. That's my comment on that.
Yeah.
So,
I agree, man.
Anything you want to discuss real quick, Pam?
Just like you said, the love. I know, Ronnie, you had invited a guy to Bible class, and just when we seen him in the parking lot, just stopping, was talking to him, we should have seen the look on his face. On, he was just so overwhelmed. It's like, you know, he it's almost like you know, when we stopped, and I think Dr. D put him in the car, drove him over to his car, and then we pulled up and asked him if he wanted to come and eat with us. You know, and he was just in shock.
That's
like
awesome.
That people were just taking interest in him. I mean, you just could have seen the look on his face. And so, you know, I agree with what you guys are saying, that, you know, we have to love on people when people are not feeling like they're connected to others, you know, they need some type of connection. We can be the one to bridge the gap for them. You know, we can be the one.
Yeah.
And if we can stay in tune to the Holy Spirit, he'll speak to us and he'll give us the unction to go and speak a word of encouragement or show some love to someone that really, really needs it. You know, and that's what walking in the Spirit is all about. You know, a lot of times I find myself being used of God more when I'm tired and hungry and, you know, just left to him. That's when I notice he'll give me the unction to go to someone or show some love to them. And that's when I know that I'm being led by the Spirit, because in my flesh, I'm totally exhausted, mentally, physically, and emotionally drained. But that's when I notice he used me the most. And so, you know, when we stay in tune to the Holy Spirit, He will definitely lead and guide us to those ones that are really in need of a word, you know, and just the love will draw them.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're coming to the end of our show, and I apologize. Chris Putnam did not make it on tonight, but we will have him on hopefully next week. I believe he may have been caught up due to the weather conditions back east, so I do apologize for that. So before we go, guys, Ronnie, do you have any last words, any last comments for tonight's show?
Well, you know, I'd like to just, you know, thank anybody who did listen, and, you know, like you said, we'll make sure we have Chris on here. But besides that, I'd just like to just reinforce that everybody, we do have an obligation as believers to, one, know what the Scripture's saying, know the intended meaning. We have an obligation to study. We have an obligation to fellowship. And fellowship, folks, is not just, you know, chicken after service. Fellowship is, hey, man, you know, I'm not doing good this week, you know, and I need some help. Fellowship is, you know, I'm low on some money, and can you help me out? Fellowship is also humbling yourself to reach out to your brothers and sisters, even when the times aren't that great, as Pam said. So let's just really, really be the body of Christ on this earth, and once we seek his righteousness, the rest will be added.
Absolutely. Pam, any last words for tonight's show?
Well, I would just say pray that God give you, you know, understanding as to who he is and what he expects from us. And to really study the word, like Ronnie said, study the word for yourself, because when you read, that word is definitely going to get down in your spirit. I mean, I'm not saying that we should be a doormat. You know, the enemy is very crafty, and you have to be, you know, a real soldier when it comes to standing against the wiles of the enemy. You have to put that armor on every day. You have to have a praise and worship in your heart. That's what gets me through my day is constantly in prayer, constantly praying and seeking the face of God, and being ready for foolishness, being ready to you know, cut through all the craziness that the enemy would throw at you, and being able to be ready at all times, whether to give a word or to rebuke a situation. And that's what I've been learning to do, is to be, when they say be all you can be in the army, I've learned to be all I can be in the army of the Lord. And that means the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. And God has been teaching me how to be a worshiper and a prayer warrior. And that is meaning to get right into knowing how to get into the presence of the Lord, knowing how to call down fire from heaven like the prophets did, Elijah and Elijah. They walked under a strong anointing, and they walked with the power of God, the Paracletos, which was working in them and through them. You know, and I'm just learning that's how you can stand against the wiles of the enemy, and that's when you can be used of God, when the Holy Spirit is telling you to be a blessing to someone else. He'll lead you, you know, when to be a blessing to somebody else, but you definitely have to have a gift of discernment too, you know, and that comes through having being with the Holy Spirit, being able to flow in the gifts that he's given you, because everybody may not have the same gifts. But if you know what your gift is, then walk in that gift and allow the Holy Spirit to use you.
Absolutely. Well, guys, it's time for us to bring the show to the end. I want to thank Ronnie for being on the show tonight. Thank you, Ronnie. We'll see you next week. Pam, hopefully we'll see you back next week. Thanks for being on the show, Pam, with your insights. And again, guys, I apologize we didn't have Chris on tonight, but we'll have him on next week or the week after for sure. And, you know, stay tuned, and we've got some really important guests coming on for you to, you know, on Can We Talk in the near future, some really popular names, famous people that are known out there for their work. So we definitely want you to tune in same time next week and stay posted. We'll also be doing some live YouTube broadcasts, so you can check us out live on YouTube very soon. And we're going to be launching very soon our own radio station called UpliftingRadio.com. So we'll give you more information about that in the near future. So, guys, please tune in same time next week. Have a blessed weekend, and peace.
Peace.